Hey everybody, Pastor Kevin here. Thanks for joining us today. We're in part four of our series, Find Your People, and we're looking at keys today to healthy friendships. We'll be in Ephesians 4, so if you have a Bible, grab it. Stuff will be on the screen, the scriptures will be on the screen for you to look at. But this is an amazing passage, and when we look at Ephesians 4, it's the whole letter to the church at Ephesus that Paul wrote. Is this incredible foundation in the first three chapters of what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, our identity, our foundation, and to be rooted firmly in God's grace and His love and His goodness. And then we get to chapter 4 and it starts to turn towards unity and maturity in community. And the latter half of chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. We're going to be in 17 through chapter 5, verse 2, and looking at this and see what we can learn. And I want you to notice really kind of three big movements as we read through this. And they are really the three points for today, which is to put off the old self, and really in terms of relationships, put off our old ways of relating. And then secondly, to be renewed. You're going to see, put off your old self, be renewed. And Jesus, He wants to change our beliefs and our thinking because we have these old patterns, these old ways, and God wants to renew that. And then thirdly, to put on, right, new ways of relating, the Christ-like mind and heart and love. And so He gets very practical here in Ephesians 4 on what that looks like. And so I want to talk about that process, that movement from putting off the old self to renewal to then putting on who we are in Christ. And it's a process. It's a transformational process once we're in Christ. And so let's go after this and see. And I want to, the last thing I want to say to you before we dive right into the verses is that after those things, we're going to notice, and I want to highlight one key kind of hinge skill that I think unpacks all of the things that are talked about in this passage. So look forward to that. I love this. Okay, let's go for it. So the first thought is to put off our old ways of relating. And so Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17 says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." So he's talking to Christians here, Christ followers. He's saying, listen, don't forget that at one point you were unbelievers, and I've laid out a great foundation of what you have in Christ and what Christ has accomplished on your behalf. You don't have to go back to the old ways. Put it off. Put off the old self, the futile thinking. And so he's saying, that's why I'm unpacking this for you today. I'm reminding you that you don't have to go there. You don't have to have the old clothes, the old ways. It's not necessary. You've got so much more available. You've got a treasure and inheritance. And so he's saying, you know, life apart from God, you were darkened in your understanding. You were separated from the life of God. You didn't have access to life and godliness. You didn't have, your hearts were hard. And he's saying this also in your relationships, in how you relate to others. The old self can look, he's saying, remember how you were? Remember what it was like? The old self was self-centered, and you would live behind masks, and you would blame others quickly. You wanted to be always in control. You would avoid hard conversations. You wanted to be understood, but you weren't willing to listen to understand others. He's saying, the old ways, the old patterns, that were things like this too. You wanted to keep score all the time. You were full of fear. You were reactive instead of reflective. I mean, that's just a short list. And he's saying, hey, remember, that's how the old way was. You don't have to go there anymore. You're going to be tempted to go there. There's going to be occasions you dip into it. And you put on that old shirt. You put on that old way of living. He's saying, no, you don't have to do that. Put it off. You no longer have to go there. And so then we get to verse 20, and he says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned." Verse 21, "When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." Right, so he keeps leaning into this, and I brought a something to represent that old life. I've got this old shirt here, just tattered and yucky, and he's saying, listen, you don't have to do this. I mean, I can't even, it doesn't even fit right. It's just grody and yucky. But you know what? When we go back to our old sinful ways in life, and we're tempted to, because those are well-worn paths in our beliefs and our thinking, And he's saying, listen, I want to transform you by the renewing of your mind. And it's stinky. It's old. It's not helpful in your relationships. It's not helpful with God, your relationship with God, or with relationship with others. So here or here. And he's saying, so remember to put off the old self. Like, you can intentionally do it. In Christ, you can go, wait a minute. Like, once you go, man, why am I stinking? You go, oh, wait a minute. What? Oh, I'm wearing that thing again? I don't need to wear that thing. He's saying, no. Put it off. Take it off. Like, you can get rid of it because you've got a new, you're clothed in Christ, right? And you can take it off. You can set it aside. You don't have to go there anymore. And so this is so important. And even the dust from the old junk, blow it off, wipe it off, all right? So put off the old self is the first thought. And then secondly, be renewed or align with God's truth. Because it's one thing to recognize that you don't put the old self on and you go, right, I don't have to do that. But then what happens? What's the process of transformation? And it's in verses 22 to 24. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. And then 23 is key here. It says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's this, notice there in verse 23, leave that up if you would, be made new. Let the renewal process happen in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, right? Wear the new clothes to get put the old one off. But part of the process of going from the old to the new is this renewal. There's a In Romans 12, I don't have that on the screen for you, but Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, first of all, surrendering your life to Christ in verse 1 and living by His grace, as offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. But then secondly, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so just real quickly, like a simplistic way to say this is renewal, this made new in the attitude of your mind. First of all, you have to recognize the lies you're believing. You have to recognize when you have the old self on, you're believing or thinking something that then eventually leads to bad behavior or sinful behavior or wrong behavior. And when you're believing a lie, that's a sin. You're believing something that isn't true. It isn't who you really are. So in our relationships, you first of all recognize the lie. What am I believing? And like an example would be this. I already know you're having an interaction with somebody and you go, I already know why they're acting this way. Like, you are prejudging their motives. You're prejudging and assuming. You're jumping to conclusions. You're interrupting. You're preparing a rebuttal instead of hearing their heart. In other words, you're filling in the blanks without actually finding out the information. This is just poor relational skills, but also it's not thinking the best. It's not thinking encouraging. It's actually the opposite of what you should do. When we're in the renewal process, we're recognizing, we're getting better and better to listening to the Holy Spirit and leaning in and saying, God, what am I believing? How do I interact here? Am I believing a lie in this? Is there something off here? And one indicator that you can recognize a lie with is if you're lacking hope in some area of your life, there's a lie mixed in there. If you don't have hope in some area of your life, you're recognizing, if there's a lack of hope, it's an indicator of a lie. If there's lack of peace, there's an indicator that there's some lie mixed in there, right? It's not aligned with Scripture. And so you're asking the Holy Spirit, reveal it, reveal the root, help me recognize lies. And then secondly, just it's on the screen, replace it with God's truth. What does God say? What's the truth of God's word say? And you can have knowledge of the truth, but to have actually live the truth is different, right? Because he's like, you're living in this tension of the old ways and the old thinking, the old self, the old beliefs. And you can, once you see the truth and you recognize the lie, you can then confess and repent towards that. You can move towards the truth in the renewal of your mind. So it's a process. And that's why, like 1 Corinthians 13:7, I don't think this is on the screen, but he says, love, what does love do? It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. And so in the example I gave where you already know why they're acting the way they are, if your assumption is, your assumptions can be very wrong, especially if you don't ask some questions and find out and listen more and draw out what's really happening, getting some understanding, right? That's why James 1:19 says, be slow to speak and quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. He's saying, take the time to lean in and cultivate that curiosity and draw it out. And that renewal of your mind happens as we confess the lie and then repent towards truth in any area of our life. So that's the second part of the transformation process, is putting off the old self and then recognizing and letting our mind be renewed here, this talk about in Ephesians 4, 22 there and 20 to 24. Now, the third area here, so we're putting off, then we're renewing. The third area is putting on. We're putting on new ways of relating. And so I love here in Ephesians 4 that Paul gets so practical with the church of Ephesus, the people there and us today, saying here's some things really practically to pay attention to and ask God to help you walk in truth in. And he does some good contrasting here. Let's look at it. It says, therefore, each of you must put, let me get to the verse. Let each of you must put off falsehood or lies, put off the falsehood, the lies, and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. He's saying, when you're speaking with other believers, anybody really, especially believers, don't lie. You might have a tendency to lie or to tell a half-truth, which really just is a lie. Don't do that. Speak truthfully, be honest, and be real, but do it in love. Speak the truth in love, right? And consider them, the other person, and as believers, we're all part of the same body. Remember, you know, if using the body metaphor, if a hand is going to touch a hot burner on a stove, and you're the brain of the part of the body, or the mouth, are you not going to communicate to the hand, hey, don't touch that, you're going to get burned, we're going to get burned, don't do it. No, so be unified as the body of Christ, be unified and be loving enough to share the truth. Don't go, oh, that won't hurt, no, go ahead and touch that hot burner, and then the hand gets sizzled. I mean, of course you wouldn't do that, it's ridiculous, and it's a ridiculous thought, but that's what happens when we do this, when we are lying to each other and not speaking the truth and in love, we're doing everybody a disservice. We're doing the whole body of Christ a disservice, and we're causing division and divide and lack of unity, and it fragments and does damage to the body of Christ and our relationships, your friendships, your family, your coworkers, any of it. And so he's saying, really pay attention to this. Put off falsehood. And then it says in verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So he's saying, remember, you're new in Christ, and those who are new in Christ, they don't hold on to anger. Anger actually itself is not a sin. It's an emotion that can have a benefit side and an impairment side, right? It's pretty easy to go to sinning with anger because anger, you're going physiologically, you're not thinking with your prefrontal cortex. You're thinking from your amygdala more so, right? Depending on how heated it is. But he's saying, don't go down the path where you're going to sin in your anger. Catch it early, take a breath, and it seems to be that the time limit is important. He's saying don't let days and days pass. Then don't even really let a whole day pass. The point is, get it taken care of. Address the issue. Find out what's going on. Ask some questions. Talk honestly with the person. If you're frustrated, let it out and make it known. And so that time limit is seems to be really key here. And he says, because if we let it fester, what it does is it gives the enemy a foothold, or in the original language, that word devil there is more like a slanderer. It starts to breed cancerous and toxic and poisonous things in our relationships. And so it gives those that toxicity a foothold, a beachhead in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our life, in our relationships. Really pay attention. Practically, don't, if you're angry, notice it. Walk away, take a breath, get honest, and ask God for wisdom and help to deal with that and get to the issue. What lies you might be believing in there? What truth needs to be replaced? The key stuff, okay? Verse 28, anyone who's been, I love this one, so practical. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, right? They must work doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. And this word work here is really strong language in the Greek. Like it's language like work yourself to the bone, like work so hard. It's super hard work. He's like labor intensely. And why would he use such strong language? I think it's because there's an assumption that if you've been stealing, That's rooted in laziness. That's rooted in apathy. It's like you're looking to take advantage of other people and do things that are wrong for your benefit, which is a spirit of laziness. It's evil. It's wrong. And he's saying, if that's something you've struggled with, you got to work. And you need to work hard. And not just to take care of your own needs. Look back at what it says. It says, do something useful with your own hands, yes, that they may have something to share with those in need. Because it doesn't say that you may have something to take care of just your needs. That's assumed. If you're going to work, there'll be pay for that. You'll take care of your needs. But he's saying it should go beyond just your needs. It should go, I want to build a heart and a practice of generosity, of giving in your life. And so when you work hard, God will reward that, and he will take care of your needs, yes, but he'll give you an abundance for every good work. He wants you to give beyond your needs. And I love that that's here. It's a way to combat laziness and greed, is to work hard with your hands, right? And in your minds, and do and use the gifts God's given you. Don't look for the easy route necessarily. All right. And then verse 29, it says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit, those who listen. And this is such a classically great verse, just about our speech. Unwholesome, fragmented talk, a vulgar talk, cursing, taking people down in life, relationships, with our words, in our writing, in our posts, in our social media posts. And I think that's where it gets so pervasive, is on social media, because it's amazing how free we feel to criticize people when we're not face to face. I think so many things get said on social media that would never be said face to face. And That's a good indicator of where your heart's at, though. If you're willing to post something publicly and you're willing to spew and toxic stuff out, that should be a really big clue that you need to invite Jesus into that part of your life. And there, you're believing lies, you're living unscripturally, you're living unbiblically. You're doing exactly the opposite of what God says to do. And that should... And sometimes we filter it with like, well, I'm just standing up for God. Not if you're spewing toxic thing against other people, you're not. That's a lie. So he's right here. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? Helpful for your political party? No. Helpful for building others up. This is about relationships here. It's about unity in the body. And what's going to help people be encouraged, put courage in them? What's going to build them up? This is key. And look what it says there. It says, for building others up, what? According to their needs. So you got to find out. You got to ask them questions. You got to listen and find out what their needs are. So what? So that it may benefit those who listen. So he's, I love this. He's like, your speech, your words, your interactions should be, you should be listening and understanding where people are at. You should find out needs. And it goes back to the verse we just read in 28. So that when you do have the extra, you have that freedom of giving and helping meet needs, God will give you insight. The Holy Spirit will nudge you and lead you, and you can take care of things. You might go, well, eventually when I get really rich, then I'm going to do that. No, do it now. Do it with the little you have. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. And when you start to be generous, you're going to find, wow, giving begets giving and begets generosity, and it begets receiving. And the more you actually are a giver, God will go, I can, faithful steward, I can entrust him with more, and I'll give him more, and you can give away more. And we become a conduit of his blessing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And so I want to encourage you. This is a wonderful thing. And it also happens in our words. Our generosity can be with our words too. I'm not saying, flattery that's fake, but call out the good that you see. Call out what you think God sees. Prophecy is that. You're calling out what you believe God sees. Aren't you glad that God sees us beyond our current behaviors and beyond the moments where we put on the old self? You know, and, I'm just, my attitude, my, oh, it's just not good. It's the old man, the old thinking, the old ways. And he's like, yeah, no, God, thank you that you prophesy over us that we're your kid. In Christ, we're new creations, right? We're new, and we're seated with him in the heavenly places. We're righteous. We're his righteous sons and daughters, and yet we're being made holy. So the process of us growing up into Christ fully is beautiful. And so, but he's reminding us practically in our areas of relating with each other, these are some things you should, you know, work hard. Yes, let wholesome talk come out. Let building up talk come out of our lives. And then verse 30 is fascinating because it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve. Have you ever thought about that? That God can be grieved? That you and I can make God sad. He laments. He grieves, it says here, over us. And over what? It's like the grieving, I think Spurgeon, I just use the Spurgeon quote here because it's just so beautiful. He says, "The Holy Spirit's grief is not of a petty, oversensitive nature. He's grieved with us mainly for our own sakes, for he knows that what misery sin will cost us. He reads our sorrows in our sins, and he grieves over us because he sees how much chastisement we incur and how much communion we lose. He's sad for us because when we're living in the old self, when we're living in the old ways, when we're putting that on instead of living in our new life in Christ, the new man and woman that we are in Christ, it saddens him because it puts a, he hasn't moved, but it puts a wall up in between our relationship with him. We're not listening to him. We're caught in shame or guilt, or the enemy's beating us up, and we're not speaking life to others. We're not receiving that. He's like, it grieves him. He's like, they don't have to live this way. They don't have to be caught up in this. I have more. I have a better way. And he says, be renewed in your thinking. Be renewed in your beliefs. Ask me and let me help you recognize the lies where you're lacking hope is an indicator of where there's a lie you're believing. Because remember, we're always renewing our minds. I think about this. We're always renewing our minds with something. Are you renewing your minds with lies? Or are you renewing your minds with truth? Because whatever you repeatedly think, whatever you repeatedly let input into your life, that is what you're renewing your mind with. Are you renewing your mind with God's word and getting his truth in you? Are you letting it wash your thinking and wash your behavior and beliefs? And because really it all starts with your beliefs. Once you get your beliefs renewed, that eventually comes out in your behaviors. And so behaviors are important, but they're actually the end result of what you're thinking up here and what you're believing up here. And so that's why this renewal process is mentioned here. He's saying, yeah, in your ways of relating, put off the old self, let me renew your thinking and your beliefs, and then watch the behaviors and how they come out. Practically, this is how it looks. So there's indicators of, is it working? Is the mind getting renewed? Is this, you start speaking with wholesomeness, you start speaking life and building others up and encouraging them. And then when you do that, you're not grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like, yes, yes, yes. Verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice or hatred. So saying, you know, stop holding on to the bitterness. Stop holding on to that long-term revenge, that long-term toxicity. You're not designed to handle it. Release it to me. Give it to me. Forgive. Let it go. Quit losing your temper. Quit fighting. Quit speaking hurtfully about others. Get rid of every attitude that is mean or malicious, that doesn't bring people up, but takes them down. Get rid of it. And what do you, how do you do that? Confess it to God. God, I see that I'm bitter here, or I see that I'm struggling with slandering someone else. Really, and the problem is that so many of us have been hurt so badly by others, and that was wrong. And that can be acknowledged. God, that was wrong. God's not saying, ignore what happened, but he is saying, let me take care of that person. You don't take care of them. I take care of them. Give them to me. Give the situation to me. Let me heal you. Let me bring wholeness in your life and let me bring health in your life. But you release that person and forgive them, and I will take care of them. 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And then verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So put off the old self, right? Don't, when you're tempted to put on the old stuff, right? Even if it just gets like partially on, say, Holy Spirit, help me see when I'm like grabbing for the old self, the old ways. Help me see when I've got it on my shoulder. Help me recognize it quickly. And he's saying, put it off, like, let it go. And one of the ways you put it off and then say, God, renew my thinking. Why was I dipping in the old well? Why was I going for the old thing? You know, because we have well-worn paths there. So it's easy to get triggered by something and go back there, and because it's familiar territory. At least that was the Israelites with Egypt. They're like, I just want to go back to Egypt. At least I know where my food's coming from. At least it was predictable. We do that too. And don't do that. Don't do God saying, you don't have to go there. Trust me. So of all the, so this passage in all of chapter 4 is amazing, but this passage right here, there's a linchpin idea, a linchpin skill that I see tied into all these, and it's this skill. It's the skill of listening, because I think listening unlocks all the things that we're called to put on, right? Everything we're called to put on, it's in our relationships, is listening is a key skill that unlocks the other things. And so, as a matter of fact, you know, Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. You know, did you know that there's 1,219 verses in the Bible about that say listen or listening? It's incredible. Like, it's listens or listening is over 1,200 verses. And so when you and I are preparing to listen in our relationships, which I just want to challenge you, and I challenge myself, ask God to help you become a better listener. Especially if you're a talker, all right? And which I am, and God's helped me with this. I still struggle with this. I still sometimes talk too much. But God's growing me in this. He's got me on a good journey. And what I find is it's so fun to ask a good question and listen and be fully present. Say, God, help me to be really present with this person right now. Even in the midst of a busy place, busy room, God, help me to focus in. Help me to really listen. Many times I not only look at their eyes, but I look at their mouth. And when I start to wander a little bit, I look at what they're saying. It helps me focus. I'm like, right, okay, I'm listening. I hear you. And so, because here's the thing, it's listening is one of the great, especially fully present listening is one of the greatest gifts you can give people. It is, they feel loved and heard and understood. And so I wanted to just want to show you two levels of listening that we can engage in. And most people engage in the first one easily. Right? And that's internal listening. And internal listening is just mostly about yourself, right? If you're listening, that's good. But if your listening is focused on you and you're thinking about the solutions you have or the next comment you can insert into the conversation, or you're waiting to respond because you got some good thoughts about this, or you're like, oh my goodness, that reminds me of a story, and then you hijack the conversation. This is so easy to do. Right, and it's where most of us live in the area of listening, and so you're listening to mostly about yourself, and you're listening on responding to respond or to throw in your thoughts about what's being said, and I just want to challenge you: take a step back, be willing to maybe ask one more question about or repeat what they said. So what I'm hearing you say is this: tell me more about that. How did that go? What did you learn when you took that trip? Or what was your favorite part? Or like the second question, the third question, drawing it out of them is so wonderful. And that's what focused listening does, is that focused listening is that next level. It's the next level above internal. It's where we listen to understand. And I just think this statement is good. Listening is ministry. Listening is ministry. Listening is a healthy relational skill that Jesus demonstrated over and over and over again. It's not just good psychological relational talk. It is Jesus's demonstration. Jesus asked over 300 questions in the Gospels and then listened. And Jesus knew everything. You know, but he was interested in the person. He was interested in hearing where he was helping them reflect. Where are you at? What's really going on? Do you know? Have you really thought about it? Do you know what? Are you living out of the old self? Or are you needing to be renewed? Are you putting on the new self, the new creation that you are in Christ? And so James 1:19 says this. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." And I love the Message paraphrase, and I don't have it on the screen for you, but the Message paraphrase says, lead with your ears. In other words, lean in with your hearing. So listen, and then lean in with your ears, and then it says follow up with your tongue. I love that. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue. It's so good. It's like just a good visual, right? Do this, and then after you've really listened, you've really heard, you've gained some understanding, you might say something like, well, tell me more, like I mentioned, or that's fascinating. So what I hear you saying is this. Is that accurate? Yeah, that is. And tell me more. Like, I'm just telling you, it's one of the greatest relational skills you can use. It's one of the best ways you can find out how to encourage someone is by finding out really where they're at, what's really going on in their life. It's so beautiful. And so put off the old ways, be renewed, and then put on the new ways of relating. And Ephesians 4 here gives us some really good things. One of the key skills is growing in your listening. So this week, I want you to practice this. I want you to practice listening. I want you to not just, for instance, ask a question like this. Hey, what's something challenging that's going on in your life right now? Or where do you feel stuck? And then be quiet. And they may not have it right away. Hopefully it takes them a minute to think about it, or a little bit. So listen. And then they start telling you what their problem is. And I want you to pay attention to where your mind goes when you're listening to their problem. Are you instantly going to the solution? Are you thinking, I've got a way to solve that for them? I've got advice to give them. I've got wisdom. I've done that before. I've been stuck in that same thing. I totally know what to do, which is what most of us do. We go to fix, or we go to the solution. Rather than do that, put that idea on the shelf and then ask at least two more questions, maybe three more questions. Matter of fact, help draw out of them what solutions they see. Don't ever tell them your solution. It would be the very last thing you might do. You might say, those are some great ideas. Are you open to any other ideas? And get permission before you tell them your solution. And if you have a solution, you know, throw it out. If they're willing, they want to hear it, throw it out to them. But it should be 70, 80% listening, 20, 30% telling. Yeah. You get better at this skill, I promise you, you will have healthier relationships, healthier friendships, healthier family dynamics. People will want to spend time with you because they feel heard and valued, and you and I will be more like Jesus. Amen? So let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you help us do this. I thank you for this chapter 4 and just the practicals of putting off the old, putting on the new, and being renewed. Lord, would you reveal any lies we're believing today? Lord, would you help us also see the truth? And Lord, ask you to replace that, God. Root out the old lie and help us to believe the truth. Lord, thank you for this. Help us grow in our listening. Lord, I thank you for every person on here. If you don't know Jesus, today's your day to say yes to Jesus. Surrender your life to Christ. If you haven't done that, just say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. I want a relationship with you, and I so am looking forward to growing in you. Here's me. Here's my life. Take it. Do with it what you'd like. I want to walk out what you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Love you. See you next week.